Some say history is a river that flows endlessly. I say that history is a series of stories written by each person's experiences. Welcome to Stories, a history of Appalachia, one story at a time. Hello, folks, and welcome once again to another episode of Stories. I'm Steve Gilley, along with Rod Mullins. And Rod, you've got some interesting witch stories to tell us today.
I want to tell you some stories, or at least a story about, you know, back in the, I guess, back in the early 20th century, you know, even on back into the late 19th century, when people started arriving back in the mountains, people were always, to some degree, fascinated with the folklore, with the mountain remedies, even the stories of witchcraft. And this is no exception, because in 1937, there was a trial in Dickinson County, Virginia, that offered a fascinating mix of courtroom drama and local folklore, all in reference to an 82-year-old woman being accused by her neighbor of being a witch. Now, this was such a slanderous accusation, she got so mad over it, she sought a warrant for his arrest, and then the trial ensued in Dickinson County. Now, it even gathered some national attention and some national headlines, if we want to call it that, because in Virginia, really about the only national things close to us were the Roanoke Times and then also the Fredericksburg Freelance Star. The Fredericksburg Freelance Star took a slightly bemused approach to the whole story back in those days because, as they said, Rocky Joe Stanley, 83-year-old father of 15 children, who one witness testified described him as a doctor against witchcraft, he was put up on trial and asked to defend or find out why he called his neighbor a witch. Now, the woman he is referring to as the witch is none other than the 82-year-old Aunt Jane Dutton of Dickinson County, Virginia. Now, the Fredericksburg Star reported that Salem, Massachusetts was probably no more excited during its 17th century witchcraft trial than was this little Cumberland Mountain community today, as Commonwealth Attorney J.O. Smith of Dickinson County described the case as just another abusive language trial, but the hill country folks didn't take it that way. Children questioned their parents on stories they had heard on spells and conjures, and oldsters recalled tales of witches who, legend said, once roamed this Kentucky border county. Now, Rocky Joe Stanley was accused in a warrant obtained by Aunt Jane Dutton with unlawfully and falsely speaking words from their unusual construction and common acceptation might be constructed as insults and tend to violate and breach of peace. The warrant specifically said that Aunt Jane was a witch and would soon die. The Roanoke Times said that it was a trial that was packed with onlookers hoping for a spectacle. Curious people by the hundreds came eager for hair-tingling tales of eerie figures riding down the lonely coves and over the towering slopes of the Cumberland Mountains, but yet no witches danced and no cauldrons simmered. Now, folks, we got to realize something here, that when you go back to the old history of the mountains, that people did use such things. Now, Steve, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there's always been tales of when a baby had the thrush and they had the infection of the mouth and stuff, the little white cells around the throat and so forth, that they would have to take that child to someone who never met their father or someone that didn't know their father. And then that person, it was preferably a woman in this case, would go and blow in the child's mouth and they'd be cured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've
heard those. That's one of those stories. Now, there's other things in there, too, about, you know, when we start talking about these things of simmering cauldrons and so forth, the mountain people did things with plants, and they did things with other types of, you know, materials that they combined together. Like, you know, if a child had a cough or a croup, they would go out and find a certain kind of leaves and, of course, mix it with certain things, and they would create a paste is what they would do and put on the child's chest or around the neck. I mean, they did these things that we consider to be strange today, but if we were to go back probably 100 years or more, we'd probably consider it some kind of witchcraft or something, and the way that they would go and chant, perhaps, or read over Bible verses about healing someone. That's the kind of things that we would probably suspect of, hey, this is wild. This stuff is crazy today. But now back then, it wasn't considered to be that way. This is also another example of sort of like what we're dealing with today in the 20th century, or 21st century, I should say, and that is being careful what you say to people and how literally they will take it. Because this was one of those examples when Mr. Stanley went and Rocky Joe said to his neighbor, Aunt Jane Dutton, and called her a witch. Well, we probably in some cases would kind of overlook witch in this day and age. Some of us would. Aunt Jane Dutton didn't like it too well, and so she decided to take it on to court. Well, it's honestly not clear which party that the keen-eyed mountaineer with the ability to doctor cattle was referring to. Was it Dutton, accused of witchcraft, or Stanley, who apparently went into session with the supernatural to see what evil force might be behind the various problems among his community?
Whoa, what now? What did he do?
Well, it was apparently he went into session with the supernatural to see what evil force might be behind the various problems among his community and their livestock.
So he was, what, casting spells?
Well, it was either that or he was sitting down and asking and trying to find out through some sort of, and I'm going to use the word loosely here, seance or something like that, to find out to speak with someone, a higher power or lower power in this case, and find out what could be causing all these problems in his community. Now, when I read that, the first thing I would be asking is, okay, he's probably prayed to the Almighty to find out what in the world's going on. What has he done wrong? Or what has, you know, somebody done wrong? But it sounds like, in this case, she may have turned the tables on him. Now, whatever prior incidents and bad blood colored the relationship between the neighbors is unfortunately unrecorded by history, or perhaps Stanley was acting arbitrarily when he designated Dutton as a troublemaking agent of what is referred to as Old Nick. But what we do know was that she was visibly upset by the accusation, and according to Lawyer Smith, when she obtained her warrant, at stake, besides Dutton's good name, was a jail sentence, a fine of $25 to $500 or both. Now, as the Reading Eagle wrote in their article, some involved in the case downplayed the importance of the supernatural angle, but it couldn't help but coming through. Attorney Smith had said that there was little superstition or belief in witchcraft in this section, but G. Mark French, Aunt Jane's attorney, I'll tell you an interesting one about G. Mark French here in a minute too, Steve.
Okay.
Said that he would offer evidence in an attempt to show that Rocky Joe had told other neighbors when they were in trouble, Aunt Jane had put a spell on them. Now, G. Mark French was a reputable attorney in Clintwood and Dickinson County, but he was also known for taking, how can I say this, rather unorthodox means to transport his livestock to market or to the butcher shop. He had a car, and he would take his livestock, and he would put them in the car and drive around Clintwood with them.
What?
This is the story that was told to me years ago. G. Mark French would have a vehicle. He would put cattle. Sometimes you would see cattle in there. Sometimes you'd see chickens, whatever the case may be. But he would haul cattle, and they would go around town with him. Either he was taking them with him and he considered them to be his pets, or he was taking them to market or wherever he was taking them to.
Surely to goodness he didn't take them to court with him.
I don't know if he did or not. But the thing about it is G. Mark French had a new car almost every few years. Now, whether or not he traded these cars in and got some resale value out of it, that remains to be seen, because you can imagine what sort of animal is going to go and let loose of their bladder or also their bowels in the back of a car? A follow-up appended to the initial Fredericksburg Freelance Star article notes that Stanley, who was a father of 15 children and a self-described doctor against witchcraft, did not take the stand in his own defense, but he was eventually cleared of the charges after standing trial. Now, some sources identified Aunt Jane as 82. Some peg her as 70 years old, but either way that you look at it, she was still a very, very interesting person. Now, some of the things that went on during this trial, this included such things as children questioned the parents on whether they had heard of spells, conjured up oldsters recalling tales of witches who legends once said roamed the Kentucky border country, as they said in here. And as I mentioned in there, they said something about Aunt Jane was a witch and would, you know, would put a spell on somebody of things to die if some of this stuff happened. But as it was closed out, Smith said that there was little superstition or belief in the witchcraft that the section that G. Mark talked about. But as it went on, Aunt Jane, the wife of Isom Dutton of the Cane Creek section, was visibly upset when she applied for the warrant. And the Commonwealth attorney said again, in his own words, she took it to heart. The case was eventually thrown out.
Wow. I think I'm speechless, Rod.
Well, that's a first for both of us then, isn't it?
I wish this attorney was still around. I'd hire him to represent me.
Wow. This is a very interesting story. And I have, you know, when I first came across this, I was very surprised. And I was like, only in Southwest Virginia and only in the Appalachians. And I thought, okay, it's got to be something that's probably a little silly. Well, it ended up being silly. And I was very surprised by the whole thing. But these are the little stories that add to the big stories through the stories of Appalachia and the history of Appalachia. This is just one of them.
All right. Very good. Thanks a bunch, Rod. Now, that's it for this week's episode of Stories. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so by going to iTunes. You can also subscribe at the podcast app on your iPhone, or if you have an Android phone or a Windows phone, go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe that way. You can subscribe through Stitcher, and you can listen as well at Blueberry, BlueBrry.com. So until next week, y'all have a great one, and we'll catch you then. So long, everybody.